Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. Thank you for sharing. You can go ahead. And I'm not going to be long. I do want to share these announcements. Tuesday, November the 6th is voting day. If you have not voted and you're a registered voter in whatever town or city you live in, then by all means, it's too late for registration, but it's not too late for you to vote if you are registered. You know, that is a privilege that we have in this nation, and we do have say-so in our government. And if you don't like the way government operates, exercise your right to vote. After you have exercised your right to vote, and if your vote goes your way, praise God. If it doesn't go your way, praise God, because after all, these people that you're voting for, they're not your source, they're not your resource. They're simply appointed or voted in order to conduct themselves in a manner that God originally established government for, which was to protect the people and make ways of provision so that the people can prosper. That's a good segue to the word. Praise God. This came bubbling up in my spirit as I was sitting there. And sometimes you'll see me grabbing my cell phone. And unless it's an emergency, it might be responding to a text or something. But other than that, it's usually just going to the word because I hear something in my spirit. And if I don't know the address or if I want to see it plainly, that's when you'll see me going to my cell phone. It's not like I'm bored and ready to leave the congregation. Amen. Okay. Listen to this. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. And when you get there, say amen. And if you need more time, just look up at the screen. I think it'll be... Tecumenology, it's just the best. Thank you, Sister Lori. It's already on the screen. That's probably why some of you haven't been opening up a Bible or. Okay. Charge them that are rich in this world to give up all of their money. Is that what it says? Oh, that's an opportunity for you to respond. Is that what it says? Okay. Well, I can keep reading that. That they be not high-minded, puffed up, proud, or arrogant, nor trust in uncertain riches. These riches, the wealth that we see, it's material. And, you know, money can be like wings and take off and fly away from you. Money can't save you. I listened to a billionaire who said, I know many wealthy people whose lives are miserable. So we shouldn't be of the sort to say, well, if I had all the money in the world, if I had a lot of money, oh, life would be so much better for me. You might have more things to enjoy, maybe able to do certain things. But money cannot buy everything. Money does not. Is not the solution, I'll put it like that, for all things. Not everybody who's wealthy is happy. Money can't buy happiness. Money cannot buy peace. Money cannot buy joy. Money, in many circumstances, cannot buy health. What do I mean by that? Well, with money, you might be able to see some specialists. And it may cost you a lot of money, but they may be able to help you out more than just the normal average person. You may have access to some. But there are just some sicknesses and diseases that money cannot solve. It cannot, you know. Yeah. They're still, as a matter of fact, investing more money into trying to find cures for some of the sicknesses and diseases that mankind comes into contact with. Everybody understand? So he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about the rich young ruler who came to him and asked him a question about what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells him, all of these things I have done. And Jesus says, one more thing you need to do. Go home, sell everything you got, and then give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And so the rich man, he walked away sad and sorrowful because he had much riches. And so Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His disciples were like, well, wow, if the rich can't get saved, who can get saved? And Jesus is like, well, man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But he goes on to break it down and says, it's hard for someone who to get someone saved who trusts in their riches, because riches cannot save you. They cannot give you eternal life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we have been redeemed not by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So he says, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody agree with that? Don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Yeah, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to this. Who giveth us richly, lavishly, abundantly, all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Yeah. So if you think dad's trying to keep stuff away from you, he's not. But he does want to teach us how to handle those things when they come into our possessions, so that we don't trust and rely on these things that he gives us. But dad's heart is to give us all things richly. Let me give you a Greek definition of richly. I think I did pretty good. Abundantly, richly. That's it. That's it. He gives in abundance. He gives overflow, if you will. So we don't want to limit God's power and ability in our lives simply by resisting him. We want to resist the things he tells us to resist and embrace the things that he desires for us to embrace, so that we can experience firsthand. Listen to what he says. I got to go back to this verse, verse 17. As a matter of fact, let's really get cool. But in the living God is who we trust in, who giveth us, say I'm in us. Hallelujah. We're in this group because he's talking about God's people, God's children. He's talking about the church of the living God, who giveth us richly in abundance, abundantly, all things to enjoy. So he tells the wealthy, you know, don't get all high-minded and haughty and stuff like that because you have riches. And don't dare trust in them, but trust in the living God. So if you think that all God has in store for you is just to barely make it by, barely make ends meet, that where you started or where you're at right now is it. And if you get offended by what I'm saying, by thinking that I'm talking about money and wealth, you're going to stay where you are. But you need to see that God has more in store for you than what you currently have. I mean, if what you had was too much for God, Frank, can you think of it like that? I just have too much for God. I just have too much. I could buy God. You know, that's the one of the worst things a person can think within themselves, that they could buy the Lord. You know, I could buy a prophecy. I could buy a gift. I could buy a miracle. I could buy all of these things. No, you can't. You can't buy anything from God in the sense that you bribe him to do certain things for you, so you can hold leverage over him. Like, I got God in my back pocket. He got to do stuff. He owe me stuff. No, we come into covenant relationship with the one true and living God. And what God will do for one, he'll do for all. He giveth us all. He giveth us all. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So dad doesn't want to keep anything away from you that is right in the sense of his eyesight, and you're going to use it in the right manner. So praise be unto God. I thank you for that. So you see what God is doing in our midst. Have faith. Remain strong. Remain faithful. Remain true to God. He will come through on your behalf. Yeah. Because everything doesn't just come instantly. Some things gradually come, but they come. Some things happen just like that. Your salvation, boom, just like that. Working it out is a lifetime. Hallelujah. Because you continue to overcome and conquer things. You continue to grow and mature in the faith. You never stop growing in the kingdom of God. It's not just a worldly principle. It's a biblical principle. You never stop growing in the things of God. The day you stop growing is the day you start dying. You start perishing and you start giving over to the whims and the ways of the world rather than giving over to the things of God. Listen, God's going to blow our mind for all eternity. You have to let that just kind of sit and, you know, resonate and marinate within the heart. God is going to blow our minds for all eternity. He's going to show us good stuff. He's going to show us stuff that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, hasn't entered into the heart of man. He's going to show us, I believe, things about this universe that will just blow our minds, and he's going to do it for all eternity. Okay, God, that's enough. I've seen enough. No, it's just going to, what's next, Dad? We're just going to keep on discovering more and more to him because he's a good God. Hallelujah. And he's eternity. He lives in eternity present. He was in eternity past, and he's definitely there for eternity future. He's an eternal God. Hallelujah. From eternity past to eternity future, he is God. Amen. So he's got great things in store for us. And he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Ooh. Yeah. Nah, you know, we just go right there. Okay, I got another announcement to make to you. And that is on Sunday mornings, we want to give you an opportunity. I know intercessory prayer is vitally necessary to stand in the gap on behalf of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. On behalf of our nation and our government, on behalf of, the saints of God and the ungodly, if you will. It's important for us to intercede and cover those areas. But I feel led because not everybody's engaged in prayer that ought to be engaged in prayer. And sometimes we find ourselves as saints carrying burdens that we should not carry. As a matter of fact, Brother Pete, he's gone down to the other room, I believe. The Lord gave him a word a couple of weeks ago in QLM, and it was not carrying a particular burden, if you will. It's too much for you to carry. And so God doesn't want us to carry the burden, but what he does want us to do is to cast our care and concerns, which is our burdens and things, on him. I remember coming up, and I'm not trying to go and live in the past, but I do want to pull forth, because this generation, to me, is missing so much in the kingdom of God, missing out on so much because of just, you know, whether you call it fundamentals or you call it basics or you call it principles, what have you, that aren't necessarily at the forefront of what's being taught to the church. A lot of other things have taken its place, and I believe that many of the saints of God are malnourished as a result. That makes sense? And so where we should be thriving and strong, we're weak and we're impotent, and you know, it's like, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the church of the living God. I was sharing with I think it was Minister Patton and some of the others that for a few years, we were preaching with the subject matter of redefining the church. Not that we needed a do-over or a makeover, if you will. Not that we needed to dress ourselves up as something altogether different. but we needed to be reminded of who we are based on biblical terms and not on, you know, what we see every day or week or weekend or however often. This generation of the church, to them, it's normal. I think I read one study or stats where, you know, this generation of the church may go to church maybe once or twice in a month, and that's it. And I was listening to Pastor Rod, and he shared this today, that the average evangelical only goes to church once every 6 weeks. And see, the thing of it is we know that if we don't have time to come and fellowship with one another, even as we see the day of the Lord approaching, we see how wickedness is prevailing in the land and all of the darkness that is all over the land. We see homes being destroyed. We see our children being destroyed. We see even young children on drugs, hooked on opioids and things of that nature. And this is stuff I never thought would come back again. I never thought heroin would come back again like it did in the 60s and all. But this thing has come back with a vengeance. So now people are getting hooked on what they call opioids, whether it's in the pill form, which eventually leads them to shooting up from the streets because they can get it cheaper on the streets, if you will, than, you know, buying it from a doctor. But we see society just decaying. We see the division that is in our politics. We see it, you know, right, left, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, independent, supposed to be in the middle. But, you know, we see all of this going on. And so it's not like things are getting better. And the answer has always been and always will be the same. The answer is Jesus. And Jesus manifests himself through his body in the earth, which is known as the church, which is you and I. It's not this building. It's not the church building that churches own, if you will. It's not church property. It is the souls of humanity that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are Christ's body in the earth. We are the ones that Jesus executes his will. So if we do what the world does and we say that we belong to God, we're doing the devil's work while we're supposed to be owned by God. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is the one who comes to wreak havoc. Satan is the one who comes to put people in bondage. Satan is the one who comes to ruin and destroy lives. Satan is the one who wants to do damage, separate people from God. So, and he's doing everything he can to separate you from God. He's like a roaring lion, as Peter described him. He says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. We can look at, you know, National Geographic or something like that. We can do everything by YouTube. Just call up a clip and show a lion stalking its prey and see how they hunt after prey. And then we can get a vivid imagination or clear example of how the enemy operates in the spirit realm in seeking whom he can devour. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy, wreak havoc on, make life miserable for them. So we see that increasing, and all of those are indicators that the church of the living God is not operating at the capacity of which she is capable of. Are you listening to me? It's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to bash or anything like that, so don't receive it in that manner. Receive it in the sense of examine it yourself. Just look. You know, just examine yourself. And if you see the same things, which helps to bring us into unity, then we can not only agree, but we can move forward in order to do something about the mess that we see. And it starts with us. And then it filters out from us to others, if you will. What God does in our lives individually, we share as a testimony along with giving the truth of the gospel. Because we can give the message, but if there's no proof of it, if there's no evidence of it, if there's no fruit of it, then it's hard for people to believe. But when you bring the gospel and then you bring the fruit, you got not only the message, but you got the evidence that it works. And this is what people need to see. In addition to laying hands on the sick and the sick recovering, in addition to casting out devils, in addition to people getting healed, delivered, set free, then they can see something else, and that is our lives. Our lives follow what we believe. And that's for us all. It's not for one person. It's for each and every one of us. And we can't do it in our own strength. I know that personally. You cannot do it in your own strength. You need the very power of God. You need the Holy Ghost. And if you have him, you trust him. And he will lead you. And he will guide you into all truths and show you things to come. He'll sustain you even in weakness and keep you going. I'm telling you, you never let go of that. Hold fast to that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see these things, and we have the answer. The world may come up with, that stuff don't work for me. I'm a living witness. It works for me. And if it works for me, it'll work for anybody. Because we all realize that we really are nobody. But for God to step in and do something and turn our lives around for glory and honor and praise, he'll do it for anybody. We don't need no super duper athlete to come in and give their testimony of how God saved them, set them free. It's good when that happens. We don't need a rock star, musician, or somebody like that to come in and give their testimony about how the Lord saved them and all. It's good when it happens, but it's not, that's not it. It's not the status of man and God's ability to save them in their high status. Because if it's just a person that's out there on the street, helpless and homeless, then everybody will say, oh, yeah, they need Jesus. They need somebody. That miracle of saving them is just as important as saving the president of the United States of America. The testimonies, though one may be here and the other may be there, not that they're less than in the eyesight of God, but if one is down there and they get saved, in God's eyesight, it's just as important as this one up here. As a matter of fact, as Jesus said, it's more difficult to get this one than it is this one. But when we all get saved, we're all on this. The playing field is level. Praise God. You have no superstar status in the kingdom of God. There's only one superstar. His name is Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all a byproduct of what he did for us. Praise God. That his death, burial, and resurrection was not in vain. Praise be unto God. And so we have work to do. So on Sunday mornings, you know, because things go on during the course of the week. For saints of God, you might go through the whirlwind. You may not even deserve it. You may have did nothing to have it happen to you, but nevertheless, it happens. You know, many sermons are entitled, Why Do God's People Suffer Bad Things? It may not be termed exactly like that, but, you know, why do good people experience bad things? Because a person can seem to be so upright and doing everything right, and then all of a sudden tragedy hits them. And the thing of it is none of us, absolutely not a single person on this people planet called Earth, none of us are above catastrophe, tribulation, or difficulties or circumstances, sicknesses or disease. It'll knock at your door. You have power over it, but if you don't use it, it will reign power over you. The only power we have over sickness and disease and all of the tribulations and troubles and wars and rumors of wars and things of that nature, the only thing that gives us victory over that is Jesus. The Bible says that we are risen with Christ and we're seated in heavenly places. And Jesus is seated far above. I'd hate to be redundant, but it's necessary to really get into your ears and into your spirit. It's necessary to understand far above. This is where Jesus is, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. This is why Jesus could walk on the water. This is why Jesus could speak to the wind and the wind obey. This is why Jesus could lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. This is why he can cause blind eyes to see, lame limbs to, you know, to be strengthened to walk. He was a miracle worker because he lived above all of those things. And this is where God wants us to live constantly. You're out of your mind. Yeah, I'm into the mind of Christ. Praise God. Which goes beyond our natural mind. We can't fathom the things of God. It just blows our minds. But, you know, we're risen with Christ. We're seated in the heavenly places. with him. And so we deal with things on earth from that position and not just, you know, just living under the circumstances and the situations. And this is just the way life is. And this is the way life is going to be. And there'll never be any change. And all things will just all be the same. I'm just so miserable. Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. You think that's the life that Jesus called you to live? Psh, you better think again. You got too much power. You can be in that situation, but not be under that situation. Yeah. You may be in a painful place. And don't think that you're singled out like you're just a bad person. You know, some things we might do can get us into that place, but some things just happen to us. And whether it just happens or we did something, the answer is still the same. Jesus. Lord, help! Like Peter, he had sense to cry out, Lord. You know, first he says, if that's you walking on the water, command me to come. Jesus says, come. He gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water. He looks at the wind and he sees the waves and he starts to sink. He starts to take his eyes off of Jesus and focus on his surroundings, and he gave into it by fear. He became afraid, and so he started sinking, but at least he had enough sense to say, Lord, save me! And Jesus reached out and saved him, and then they walked back to the boat together and got in the boat, and everything was fine. Those scriptures aren't just there just to talk about the remarkable stories of Jesus, but it's to have impact in our lives. Jesus can cause us to walk on top of situations and circumstances that go on in this earth. And as long as I keep my eyes on him, I'll always walk above. After all, he called me to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Some of you might be looking at me strange because you don't understand what I'm saying. But I don't know if anybody has ever felt the burden and the weight just over them because of the pressures of life, whatever that may be. And you feel the weight of it. You feel the impact of it. People hate you, and you've done nothing for them to hate you. People turn against you. You've done nothing for them to turn against you. And you have to carry that weight. Well, we don't have to carry it, but it comes on us. But when it does come on us, we can end up carrying it, or we can do what we're supposed to do. Cast it on Jesus. Here, take it, Lord. It's too much for me. It goes back to that word. This is too much for you to carry. Give it to Jesus. Well, nothing's going to get done. Praise God. That's what the devil wants you to think. Yeah, that's what Satan wants you to think. Nothing's going to change. It's still, I have to do something. Sometimes you just have to sit in the seat right next to Jesus, right next to the Father, and just wait on the Lord to move. Hallelujah. And if he gives you instruction to do something, be quick to do it. But at least have yourself in the position that you can hear from him speaking into your ear. This is what you need to do. Pastor Rod was sharing this praise report today. You can go back and watch it. I think it was streamed earlier. There's this family. They've been in the ministry because they don't see it as like an occupation or anything like that, or secular or worldly. They've been in the ministry of adopting kids, bringing in kids, and many of these kids are kids that have mental health problems and issues. And so they have brought, stay with me, don't go to sleep, shake yourself, and nobody look. But they have brought in to their home over 100 children to minister to. Two of those children stand out. One was born without a cerebellum. Only had a brain stem in the back, and God healed him and gave him that brain stem so he functions now properly. Another was born without optic nerves or something like that, and they got healed, and they can see now. And so the kids that they have been adopting have been kids that really need miracles done, and God has done miracles and wonders in their household. And they continue to do this on an ongoing basis. Well, this recent one was they had this child that the doctors had given up hope for living and said the child, I think maybe something like had a year life term, that the child was going to die. And so they took the child in, and immediately when they took the child in, the child just got better. And so the child's getting better and better, and then the mom of the house, she was away. She was tending to the son that was born without a cerebral, did I say cerebral? Cerebellum. And she was with him tending to some things. And so she got a phone call from her daughter saying that the child that they said wouldn't live is like grayish and don't know what to do. I guess the child wasn't responding. The child was basically getting ready to check out. And so the mom, she didn't like panic, but I believe, if I recall, because I was getting ready at the time, she just began to pray and seek God, didn't know what to do. And this was her testimony. She says, I've never understood the word of knowledge until I came to this church. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Not TFT, but World Harvest Church, which is, TFT is a microcosm of it. What God does there in big stuff, he does in smaller, only because of the numbers. But when the numbers increase, we're not in competition. We're on the same team, amen. But we see things happening there. So she didn't call Pastor Rod. She didn't call any of the elders. And her husband is an elder. But she says, I've never understood the gift of the word of knowledge until I came here. But then when it came to her son, she received the exact instructions from the Holy Ghost of what to do. She called her daughter. She said, do this. And as soon as the daughter did that, the kid got better. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Yeah. And so, Dad is, he's thick in our midst. And I got so carried away with that one. It's like, praise God, we're going to end on that one. But this is who we are as the body of Christ. And this is what Dad wants to do on a daily basis. The material things, guess what? Let me ask Brother Randy. Let me just put him on the spot just for a minute. He's a good worker. He's a dedicated worker. And when we don't see him, he's working. He'll let me know. I won't be around because I'm working. But other than that, do you do just a whole lot of stuff in order to earn those bonuses? Okay. You do a lot. You give your all. Okay. Then we'll leave that there. Let me phrase it a different way. Do you believe God has favored you since you've really surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And that from what God is doing in your life, he's blessing that business that you are working at, and they're starting to see the abundance, and because of that, that it's just coming your way? Yeah, believe like this, Brother Randy. All those employers around that are getting blessed, y'all getting blessed because I'm here. And the reason I'm here is because God has me here. I'm not going to tell you how to think, but it's like, yeah, y'all enjoy. Go ahead and enjoy the blessing and favor of God. And when you're ready to get saved, come on, I'm ready to show you how, if you will. I was going to go in a different direction, but that just took me. And I know how I used to be when I worked secularly. I just believed everybody was getting blessed because I was there. Who do you think you are? I'm just a child of God. I believe if I carry his presence, I believe if I carry his anointing, I believe as it was with Jacob. He was blessed in everything that he did. I believe with Joseph. I believe with Abraham. Abraham was blessed in everything that he did. Isaac was blessed in everything that he did. Jacob was blessed in everything that he did. Joseph was blessed in everything that he did. Even when they cursed him, even when they threw him in prison, even when they forgot about him, even when they threw him in the hole. I mean, he had family after him. He had, you know, guys who forgot about him in prison. He had a woman that came at him. We're talking about Joseph, right? He had a woman who came after him, and he didn't do anything to try and lure her his way. She lied on him, got him thrown in prison. And so, you know, all of those things that happened to him, but nevertheless, the plan of the Lord prevailed. What God showed him out in the field, he performed because he kept the right heart, right mind, and God blessed and favored. So I just believe that we're in that lineage, if you will. How can you connect with that lineage? The Bible says this, and it's over in Galatians. I forget the exact address. But if we are Christ, meaning we belong to Jesus, then we are Abraham's seed, and we are heirs according to the promise. So what was on Abraham, and what was on Isaac, and what was on Jacob, and what was on Joseph, all the way to what was on Jesus, is on us. Yeah. I do my head because Jesus is the head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. But if it gets on the head, it comes down. So everybody ought to be blessed, which takes me back to what Paul said. God giveth richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise my Jesus. Can we get that scripture back up there, Sister Lori? Yeah. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now. I thank you for everyone that is here under the sound of my voice. Those watching live stream. And even those who will hear as this word is repeated to others, that the blessing and the favor does not stop here. It penetrates the airwaves. It penetrates the lives of those who will hear. That you may show yourself strong to those whose hearts are loyal towards you. And the blessing of the Lord, according to your word, that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, may be ours richly to enjoy as we continue to promote your kingdom in the earth. For Lord, you have said in your word, all who put their trust in me, they shall not be put to shame. So we have great confidence in you. We have great confidence in you, Almighty God. And great boldness of speech to preach the truth in love. And we have access to you through Jesus. So work your will. We're here for you. Use us for your glory. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lift your hands for the blessing. And Father, I speak over this assembly, those who are here in the tabernacle, as well as those that are down in the MP room. I speak even to those that are not here because they could not make it out today. I speak the power of your blessing. Let it continue and let it have a rippling effect that is just flowing out. And everyone that's in its path gets affected by it in the name of Jesus. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the powers of hell, the gates of hell, will never prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God. You're the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order